Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, Hour 2. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, The Herd, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Speaking of food, so they had Hard Knocks on HBO last night. The most shocking moment is that Jerry Jones, who has a 324-foot yacht, loves McGriddles and puts salt on them. Like a McGriddle doesn't have enough salt and sodium, let me add more to it. And I find it fascinating. Parts of Jerry Jones are so relatable. And then there's a part where he has a yacht the size of a hotel.
Right.
And there's parts of him that are probably, we can't relate at all. And we were talking during the break that Jerry, you know, he grabs his McGriddle. He clearly had somebody go get him a McGriddle. It wasn't a random buy late night when you're drunk. You know, you go out and you're like, Carl's Jr., whatever. It was, go get me a McGriddle. And he gets it and jams it full of salt. And you're like, that's not even healthy. Everybody's got something.
Oh, yeah. Now, I have lots of things. I have lots of vices.
Is there anything, and it's funny about that, like even health nuts, everybody's got a weakness. I will go home, and I don't do it a lot, but I will do it fairly regularly. I am so lazy that I always keep like shredded cheese around the house.
Shredded cheese?
Well, I mean, you know, like bags of like shredded cheese, and then I will get nacho chips. And I'll cover them in cheese, and if there's guac, I'll throw it on there, and I'll microwave it, and it's just a mess. It is a greasy, awful mess. And I work out, and I eat right. There is something about the salt and the grease on a hot day, and I'm just dying for salt and grease. And I look at it, and I'm like, my dogs will eat anything. And if I offer them a chip, they're like, ugh, pass, speak to the paw. It's gross. So when I watch Jerry do this, I'm like, we all have that thing, even unless you're like an athletic trainer and worry about your abs at 50.
Right.
Like everybody's got something they eat and it's just disgusting.
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty inconsistent with my rules with eating. So I don't know that I can point to one thing. Like I'm not very disciplined.
Have you noticed this?
I always have cheese sticks in the house. Is that bad?
That's not great, but I think America loves cheese sticks. Here's the other thing. If you've noticed on television, everybody now is selling you a chicken sandwich.
Yes.
Every place in the world is selling you hard on a chicken sandwich. And that's fine. I like Jersey Mike subs. That's what I eat.
Of course.
But that is like a thing. Like that's everybody's big push now, probably because you know who, the Southern Chicken chain kicked everybody's butt for a while and everybody's kind of freaking out about it. But you watch television now, you cannot go 5 minutes without a chicken sandwich commercial. I strongly recommend you go to Jersey Mike 7 and get a number 7 turkey provolone.
I get the Italian.
Oh, do you?
Very good. Every Wednesday.
By the way, here's another take. Another hot take. So this is actually a great weekend. Mac Jones, the rookie, plays Thursday. And then we have all the young guys, Field and Trey Lance. And Jordan Love's playing, and Trevor Lawrence is playing. It's really good. Saturday, I'm watching NFL preseason, and I usually think it's a snooze. But here's the thing. How do I think he'll be? I think he's going to look good, and here's why. Number one, second year in the system. Rest of these guys are kids. So it's his second year in the system. Number two, of all the quarterbacks playing this weekend, he's got the best offensive line, he and Trey Lance. He's going to have more protection. Number three, he's at home. The other thing he's got is that I can see all these other coaches, besides Jordan Love, putting their quarterbacks in uncomfortable situations because they need to play. Like Trey Lance and Justin Fields and Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence, they better be ready to play. Jordan Love doesn't. And the Packers, instead of him needing to play, need him to look good so they don't get crushed. Because Monday, if Jordan Love stinks, every show in the country is going to lead with, the hell was Green Bay thinking? He's terrible. My prediction is they set him up to succeed. They give him plays that work. They make it very comfortable for Jordan Love. Because all the other guys, you need to give them plays that they're a little over their head. You're going to experiment, put them out there and like, okay, you got to put the, you know, the heat on all Mac Jones, Justin Fields. Dude, you may be playing week one. He's the only guy won't play. So this is just my prediction that Jordan will look pretty good this weekend. They're going to set him up on stuff. They're going to roll him to the side he feels comfortable with. He's going to get some first-team starters to play with. That's my prediction. Of all these guys, Jordan will look really good. The other thing is, I can't wait to watch Urban and Trevor Lawrence. I have no idea. When's the last time Jacksonville was interesting? I can't wait. I have no idea what they look like. So with that, we bring in TJ Hushmanzada, Fox Sports NFL analyst, joining us live. Oh, by the way, that's my theory, what the Packers will do. They'll set him up to succeed, get some positive, you know, PR out of this. Let's not make him look like, you know, he's bailing water. That's my guess on what Green Bay does. Realistic or unrealistic from your perspective?
Very realistic. And see, this is what's going to happen that I don't know if anybody has talked about. Nobody, not one NFL team, game plans for the preseason. I guarantee Matt LaFleur and those offensive coaches, they're game planning just a little bit because they want Jordan Love to look good.
Sure.
You never game plan for game one. Only the third preseason game, you'll put a semi-game plan in. They're going to be ready for the Houston Texans. They're scouting that defensive coordinator. They're going to get with Jordan Love and say, expect this, expect that. This is how we're going to attack it. If Jordan Love wasn't in this position, it would be no game plan. I guarantee they're somewhat game planning because they want him to shine.
So it's interesting. I said yesterday that I just watch, and I do think, TJ, you did it for years. You can look at an athlete, and it does not take – I mean, I've asked coaches and players how long before you knew this guy could play or couldn't. In fact, I was talking to Frank Reich yesterday. He goes, I knew in the first practice Darius Leonard was going to be a star. Like, first practice, you're like – oh, my, his range, his length. So I watched Zach Wilson, and he's a quarterback. He's a kid. He's young. He looks small to me. He looked overwhelmed with the Jets. Now, it's not the end of the world. But what will you have to see, TJ, with Zach Wilson? What will you have to see for you to go, I don't know if this is going to work?
I don't believe I'll get to that point this year. The Jets were one of the worst teams in football. It's very simple. Like, they don't have, or they didn't have last year, any skilled guys, and no disrespect to those dudes, that could start on any other team in the league. Not one receiver, not one running back, not one tight end would be a starter on any other team. So he's going in there with a bare cupboard. Now, Elijah Moore, he's a separation machine. He can create separation. But the fact that he got into camp late just shows me, as you would say, the Jets are dysfunctional. They weren't. He would have been in there on time. But Zach is a good athlete, Colin, and so he's going to be able to use his legs. Like, he can really run. Like, he can really run. He's a really good athlete. And so if he needs to do that, that's what he will do. But the Jets are a bad team. He just needs to do his part, but it's going to be hard as a rookie. It's going to be hard for him.
So Joe Burrow, the reports in Joe Burrow acknowledge this. He's coming off an injury, and it was a mangled mess. ACL, MCL, additional ligament damage. You tell me, you've had injuries, not a lot, but you've had them. What goes on upstairs when you get back on the field right off rehab?
Oh, you're nervous. That's for sure. You get out there and you don't trust it. You don't know, you know, especially like I never had an ACL reconstruction and like Joe's coming off of. But I can only imagine Joe was hit a ton last year, a ton. And then finally, you know, that last hit took him out. And so anytime he feels pressure underneath, up the middle at his legs, it's human nature. He's going to pull that leg. And I don't know what week it will be where he finally says, okay, I'm fine. But the Bengals need to be very careful with this. You might want to get him some live periods in practice. They're not going to touch him. Or maybe just a series in a preseason just to kind of get him used to it. Because if he goes into a regular season game and he hasn't really had that full-on rush, he's going to do the same thing, because what's the difference between that and practice? The difference is they're just going to hit you and tackle you. And so you want to try to get him through that. That's a mental thing, and it's going to take time, and only he knows when that will go away.
So on Hard Knocks, between Mike McCarthy and Dan Quinn, we use swear words now like salt. We put it on everything. I mean, it was just, you know, it was profane for the whole show. When you watch Hard Knocks, can you, I mean, I always think McCarthy's acting like he thinks a football coach should act. I don't, it just feels odd to me. It's like forced. Do you, when you've watched all these Hard Knocks, do you take anything from it? You ever get little tells, little things you're like, oh, that ain't real. That ain't right. That, like, what, how do you as a player watch Hard Knocks?
I watch it as, oh, they know the camera's around right now. Just certain things that they do and say, they're doing it because the camera's around. I believe as you get to the middle of Hard Knocks, they tend to forget the camera's around. But early on, they're very aware of the cameras, where they are, what they say. And then once the middle towards the end of the season gets there, they tend to forget. And so you start to see a little more transparency, a little more reality. And I think a lot of it early on, though, is, oh, the camera's here. Let me do this for TV, so to speak.
Yeah. Jamal Adams, there but not practicing. Dwayne Brown, there but not practicing. My theory is with Seattle that Pete Carroll pushed for this Jamal Adams trade, and they gave up 2 firsts, a 3rd, and a safety for Jamal Adams. And it'll look terrible if they don't get this deal done. So the Seattle Times has 2 reporters this morning that have said the Seahawks appear to be willing to move to sign Adams, but not the left tackle, Dwayne Brown. And I'm like, time out. Left tackle? Safety? But my belief is Pete Carroll, last year, the defense was a mess, bottom half of the league. They had no pass rush. And I think Seattle over, and I like Jamal, but they went crazy on him. And now they're backed into a corner because they can't just bail on Jamal Adams. They gave up too much. Don't you think it's a little odd? Now, I'll say this. Pete's a defensive guy. So Pete, it's not great for Pete's reputation when Seattle's defense stinks and Russell's carrying the franchise, right? And so, I mean, I just, when I look at that Jamal Adams, Dwayne Brown story, and the reports are they're closer to Jamal Adams, I'm like, that feels like Pete Carroll pushed for that, and he's taking care of that because that matters more to him. Or am I over my skis on this? Is it just, you know, Jamal's a better player? How do you view it?
No, when you give up what they gave up to get Jamal Adams, you have to sign him. It's that simple. And guess what? He knows it and his agent knows it. And so you're going to offer me this? No, you don't give up what they gave up to let him go after 2 years. You just don't do that. And so he knows he has them by the you-know-what, and so he's using this leverage. But they need Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown, although he's 36 years old, he's one of the best left tackles still in football. And the way the rules are, practice is not as tough and as strenuous as it used to be. He's going to be able to play at least 2 to 3 more years.
Good point.
I think with Pete Carroll being such an old-school coach, he's probably looking at the age of Dwayne Brown and saying, I don't want to re-sign him. Practice. I was just at the Rams practice yesterday and just talking to the guys, man, that I played with or against that were younger than me but are still playing. Man, I can play 20 years in this league now. That's what they were telling me yesterday.
Wow.
Practice is just easier now. And so Dwayne Brown still has some tread left on the tires, and Pete Carroll needs to understand that, because without Dwayne Brown happy and in the fold, your season's going down the drain. And
yeah,
they know it. And Russell Wilson knows it.
By the way, that's a really good point. So Dwayne, I watch every Seahawk game. I still think he's great. I think he's a very – I've met him one time in person. That stuff, I mean, just genetically, that's not the way I've ever seen another human. He's a mountain. He's a mountain. And he's a really athletic left tackle with a really athletic quarterback. So with Russell moving around, you can't have this heavy-footed left tackle because Russ is changing directions. But that's a fascinating point. That the guys you talk to, and that's just because practice is easier now?
Yeah, like it's not as strenuous, Colin. They're not running as much. The coaches are taking care, at least I know the round, they're taking care of their players. And I'm sure Pete's doing the same. The most important day of the week is Sunday. Let's get the Sunday healthy. And the coaches realize that, and they're taking care of these guys. And so, dude, give Dwayne Brown a 2-year extension. Keep him happy. Keep him in the fold. Your season hinges on it. And you don't have him, your season's going down the drain, and they know it.
Great stuff, buddy. TJ Hushmanzada up on Game Saturdays, 1 to 3 Eastern, Fox Sports Radio. As always, insight, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right, Colin, I think I'm going to try your nachos later.
Your dog won't like him if you got a dog, I'll tell you that. Everybody's got something. Even the late Anthony Bourdain. He liked Fritos. I think that was his big thing. Like the world's best, you know, one of the most progressive, smartest chefs. He ate junk, too. We all got something.
I have a few things. I can't even decide which one.
I have something right now that, because I stopped doing a lot of coffee places. Mm-hmm. So I try to fight that off, the urge to go to a coffee place. But I will tell you something. You ever get into a rut when you fall in love with something and it's too expensive and you know it's stupid?
Yeah.
I've fallen into one of those things.
Is it the iced coffee? Because you, no?
No. There is a place that I go to. I'm it's embarrassing. They have blackened chicken, mm-hmm. and you have a lemon in there, and you squeeze the lemon on it. It is...
What's wrong with that?
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad.
Oh.
It is so outrageously priced.
Oh, it is.
I mean, honestly,
yeah.
When I at the end of the month, when I get my credit card and look at it, it's like, I spent that much on... I could literally go buy chicken at Albertsons or Ralph's or something and make it.
Yeah. I don't... I never look at buying food that way.
Yeah.
That's where I spend my money. Food and traveling. I don't like buy expensive clothes. I don't buy expensive shoes.
You wear warm-ups by 5 minutes after the show.
I am in sweatpants immediately as soon as the show is over. So, no.
And I can verify that.
Yes.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow, the Yankees and White Sox travel to Iowa in the site of the most beloved baseball movie of all time to play a historic regular season matchup on the real Field of Dreams. You don't want to miss it. Coverage begins at 6 Eastern on Fox.
Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz and Frank Thomas will be roving reporters in Dyersville, Iowa. That is, as I said, there's only 3 sports movies I truly love. Miracle is number 1. Field of Dreams is number 2, and Hoosiers is number 3. You can have the rest of them. Now, I have been told, Remember the Titans.
Yes.
Is supposed to be glorious, so I'm going to give that a spin.
Are you?
Well, I don't have time this weekend. There's too many good NFL exhibition games.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to watch it this weekend. But
I've only been to Iowa once for a night. It was remarkable. I'm not going to get into it, but I saw the greatest sunset of my life.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I was at the University of Iowa, and I went to a pizza place. It had an aviation theme and had remarkable pizza.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then I slept in a dorm, which was not nearly as remarkable. Hmm. But I've got...
I've never been to Iowa.
Really?
Mm-mm.
There's good people out there. You know, they farming is big out there.
In Iowa, you don't say.
Corn. And they produce good college football players. A lot of good Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa Hawkeyes give you about 7 wins a year, but is there any program in America that puts more good pros? You know, most of the great pros you'd think come from big pros. Iowa wins 7 games a year, and they've always got great NFL guys. All their guys, Tristan Wirfs goes in to Tampa, arguably the best rookie. It's just unbelievable. Like, how do they do it? Why don't they win more in college?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herd Line News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
The 49ers kick off their preseason schedule against the Chiefs on Saturday. We will be paying attention because we want to see what's going on with Trey Lance. But Kyle Shanahan is not revealing how he'll use Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance in the game. He said he hasn't told the team who is playing yet and still has a couple days to decide. And once he tells the players, he'll tell the media. Not really sure why he's being coy about this. Does he really need to play Jimmy Garoppolo in the preseason?
I don't think I... Well, you know what? No, that's wrong. That's a good... I would play Garoppolo.
Because of the injury?
I know he's fragile, but in the end, I've got a backup plan. And darn it, I need to see you plant that foot. I'm sorry.
I mean, maybe just to get him some confidence.
Yes.
But I would give most of the reps to Trey Lance.
Like, I wouldn't play Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
No, and if you're not coming off of an injury, then you really don't need to be
Joe
out
Burrow.
There. Like, Dak Prescott is going to play. Joe Burrow is going to play.
Yeah, I mean, like, Joe Burrow, part of me thinks don't play him. And then part of me thinks, because of this confidence thing that's emerged, you probably got to give him a series
every
week.
I think he does. I think he needs a little bit just to get some calluses, get some game speed, feel the pressure, and get some confidence.
Yeah, I mean, when you listen to Joe Burrow talk yesterday, I think we had him on, and I listened to him, and I'm like, you know, I think I've changed my mind on that. I think I'd probably want to see him for a series or two. Let's get him past that mental hurdle.
No, I think once you're of the caliber of Russell Wilson and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, there's no value. You don't need to, you're not coming off an injury. You don't need to get your confidence. You don't need game speed. You don't need to run through plays. Like, there's no value at all in you being out there. I don't know entirely about it with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been injured so much. I don't know that he...
We're only down to three preseason games, aren't we now?
Yes.
It's three, right? That's good.
Yeah, this
Steelers
and Cowboys are the only ones that are going to have four because they played in
so
the
Hall of Fame. So that should be, I would go with one to two, but I do like the fact that.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to the third preseason game, it's all the guys who are going to make at the end of the roster.
You know, it's amazing. This is not a political statement. Do not take it as one. But it's amazing how so many people peddle fear in everything. Like in football. God, if I had to hear again, you have got to have four preseason games. Oh, it's funny. The minute a 17th regular season comes in, they take one off. You've got to do this. And that in the NFL now, TJ Hushmanzada is just on our show acknowledging, and nobody really hits at practice, God, if you had every cliche in the world. Mm-hmm. I remember this years ago when I worked at the other place, and the NFL went out and started really going after targeting and hitting wide receivers and hitting quarterbacks. And I can remember every guy that called my show. Oh, they're going to put dress on. Football has to be interesting. And it doesn't have to be full of hurt, injured star players. The NFL's never gotten safer. The practices have never been easier. There's never been less violent hitting. And the ratings in the league is flourishing. Everything, we always peddle fear on everything. You can't do, I remember when they raised the speed limit, this is years ago, from like 55 to 65. Oh, there's going to be all these accidents. Actually, there's fewer accidents because as cars were asked to go faster, car makers made better cars, and therefore we have fewer accidents.
They also had that seatbelt thing, which...
Yeah. Oh, you take away my freedom.
That's a whole other conversation. So Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson both went down with similar foot injuries that required surgery. The initial time frame for their return was 5 to 12 weeks, but things seem to be going really well in both of their recoveries. They're reportedly trending towards being available for the Colts week 1 game against the Seahawks, and both players were seen at camp on Tuesday without walking boots. This is encouraging.
Yeah, this is great news for them. Remember, there were only two teams in the league last year that were top 10 in total offense and total defense. This was one of them. So I've said before, this is a bad division. It would be so unfortunate for Carson Wentz to get hurt because I don't know why it is exactly, Joy. Maybe it's because they don't do splashy free agent signings and they're not like a star-driven roster.
Yeah.
And... You know, like Baltimore and, you know, Kansas City, they have flashier quarterbacks. Does everybody get, we all love Cleveland this year, right? We all think Cleveland's great. Cleveland was like 17th in defense and 16th in offense. Like, let me look at the Colts up real quick. Last year, the Colts were 11-5 with the least athletic quarterback in the league.
Right.
The Colts were 10th in offense and 8th in total defense. We love Cleveland. They were 16th in offense, 17th in defense. We love Buffalo. They were 14th in defense. We love Baltimore. They were 19th in offense. So it's like, to me, it's one thing if a quarterback for Detroit gets banged up. They're bad. We know it.
Yeah.
But like Indianapolis, this league is way better when the competent teams have solid quarterback play.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was the question with the Colts last year. Like, it's what is Philip Rivers going to be able to do with this roster? And I actually thought, I mean, I thought he should have retired before. And I thought he did a competent job with them. And that speaks to what the Colts have built. But you're right. The Colts are not traditionally the flashiest, loudest,
right,
you know, most bedazzled organization.
And the teams around them in the AFC are Lamar's explosive, Mahomes and Andy Reid.
So they just kind of quietly
put together and
chug along.
They have a huge advantage over everybody else in the AFC. They're in an awful division.
Yeah.
So they should end up, if Wentz can play, the Colts should be a 14-3, 13-4 season. Folks, it's not that they had an unathletic quarterback last year. They had the most unathletic quarterback and went 11-5 and gave Buffalo, in Buffalo, fits in the playoff game.
Yeah, but we had Albert Breer on earlier, and he said that it looks like it's a very positive situation. It's trending in the right direction. I would imagine they might be a little choppy in the beginning because he is coming off of this injury if he plays week one. But it's really encouraging that he is even being talked about as being available, and Wirfs as well. So Dak Prescott recovered from his ankle injury, but then suffered a shoulder strain in his throwing arm at the start of training camp. We watched this process last night on Hard Knocks. And the team's athletic trainer revealed that he consulted trainers from the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees to discuss Dak's shoulder. And he said that it was advised to overprotect it, be cautious early, and give it plenty of time to heal. This was one of the scenes in Hard Knocks yesterday. I believe this is when he's talking to Jerry Jones and he's eating the McGriddle with the extra salt. But I did think this was very interesting. Jerry Jones being involved in all aspects of the team was not really a surprising revelation to me.
Right.
But that the trainers are sourcing out specific, you know, information from another sport, it was interesting to me, because this is something that you would think happens often with quarterbacks, but because they're being so overprotective with Dak, as they should be, because he is now the franchise, and if Dak is not out there, their season is a wash.
Right.
I like that they are being so protective of him. Like, watching that yesterday was a good example of why you have to have safeguards in place for players, because Dak is chomping to get back out there every season. Why can't I get in? Like, I want more reps. I want to get on the field, because he wants to test his body, and he's missing playing football. But you have to sometimes protect players from themselves and make sure that they're taking care of their body and they're coming back in the proper way. And having a good training staff and a good coaching staff can protect you from that. But we got to figure. I have so many questions from Jerry Jones with that McGriddle situation.
Yeah, it's billionaires.
I'm not judging.
No, we're not. There's nothing against McGriddle. I never had one. I mean,
I love McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't eat a lot of fast food, but I think there's a reason it does well. People, it tastes good. I mean, I drive
nothing
by.
Better than Jersey Mike's, though.
Yeah, no, Jersey Mike's is fantastic. That's why we don't let anybody sponsor our show.
Except for Jersey Mike's.
Yeah. Joy of the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, it's interesting. It just kind of cracks me up. Whenever I hear people, you know, criticize California, oh, there are politics and there's hippies and there are all this and that. Conservatives just love to lament, you know, oh, L.A. is the worst. You may not like it, but let me tell you something. Pro athletes do. And by the way, they get taxed worse than any other pro athlete anywhere in the country outside of maybe a New York athlete, because New York has a city tax that L.A. doesn't have to that level. So like New York and L.A., you know, you know, these are big cities. Chicago's got a lot of taxes. Why do New York and L.A., Chicago have a lot of taxes? They have a lot of people. The infrastructure, roads, bridges get beat up, get worn on. It's like it's expensive. But it is amazing. And I hope people in Los Angeles understand what's happening now. In my life of doing this job at a very high level, I've never seen a city with more stars. So Westbrook is now in Los Angeles. He is a star. And I said, this morning, baseball doesn't have a lot of what you would call stars. They don't market their players as well as football or basketball or even soccer. But just look at what Los Angeles has right now. In baseball alone, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, and Mookie Betts, maybe the three best players. Max Scherzer has been the first or second best pitcher for half a decade. Cody Bellinger, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler is going to win the Cy Young. He's 12-2. Nobody can hit him. I didn't mention other players who have been all-stars. I didn't mention an Angel who's hurt, who's been an all-star, a Dodger, Justin Turner. That's just in baseball. in basketball, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George. I won't list Melo a Hall of Famer. So I'm not listing all-stars. I'm not listing Hall of Famers. Then in the NFL, Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Justin Herbert, Joey Bosa. I'm also not listing guys like Andrew Whitworth who will get Hall of Fame votes. This is one area. Like, Atlanta is a massive city. I mean, like 6 million people. Trae Young and Matt Ryan are arguably their two stars. Neither makes the top 10 in Los Angeles. Chicago, third biggest city in the country. Khalil Mack. Let me think about this for a second, Chicago. Khalil Mack is a star. Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball. They'll make top 15 in Los Angeles. New York's got Saquon Barkley, the Nets, Garrett Cole, and Aaron Judge. Like, this is unprecedented. This just does not happen in sports. And it's a combination of two things. Number one, when LeBron arrived in this city, LeBron steals a lot of attention. And the Dodgers and the Chargers and the Rams and LAFC and the Clippers do not want to get lost in the avalanche of LeBron media coverage. They've all gone way aggressive. And the second thing is, you as a conservative may hate LA, but athletes like it because the weather's good and because you can hide. You can hide in Los Angeles. Nobody cares. In my neighborhood, I've seen Don Cheadle and Bob Saget and Kelly Rutherford and Harrison Ford and Mark Harmon in the last 3 weeks. Nobody cares. You just walk around. Nobody cares. And so I just hope people in L.A. realize this may never happen again. It is insane. Every night you turn on your Los Angeles teams and there are stars and superstars. The baseball talent in Angels and the Dodgers, I listed 8 guys. There's another 6 who have been like 4 to 6. Trey Turner's now in town. It is unbelievable.
You kind of glossed over that you saw Don Cheadle.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? Well, did you say hi, Don Cheadle?
No,
to Don Cheadle?
No, it wasn't that kind of run-in.
Oh, you just kind of
you can spot somebody.
Oh, okay.
You don't. Bob Saget ran me over.
Oh.
I've seen Kelly Rutherford multiple times at my juice shop. Harrison Ford walked right by me. Mark Harmon sat.
But Don Cheadle's your guy.
When you see somebody 30 feet away,
yeah.
You know.
All right, well, Don, if you see Colin,
hey,
he'd like to say hello.
Cheadle!
Yeah, that's what actually doesn't happen in LA.
But the truth is, it's attractive to athletes because you can just disappear.
No,
here.
It is. There's, I mean, you see, to your point, you see stars all the time. It is not the same as walking down the street in Idaho and it's LeBron James. Like, it's LeBron James.
We're going to Cowboy Camp next, The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, we found out in Hard Knocks, Jerry Jones likes more salt with his McGriddle. Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, senior writer, cover the Cowboys forever. 3 weeks in Oxnard at the Hall of Fame this weekend at Bon Vivant. He's all over the world covering football. Clarence Hill joins us live. So let me ask you about, first of all, I want to ask you about a couple things. Micah Parsons, I hear a lot of stuff, and everybody's great in the preseason. Your interpretation, because it's not a position of need necessarily for the Cowboys, but he was the best defensive player available. What was your interpretation of Micah Parsons?
Okay, first of all, the position of need is playmaker, difference maker, okay? Bad mofo, okay? Dog on defense. That's the position of need, and that's what they got with Micah Parsons. You saw in Hard Knocks last night, you've seen in training camp, he has it. He's going to be special. He's going to be a star. He wants to make plays.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, that's what they did on defense. I mean, you know, you can talk about, you know, they needed a cornerback. That was the biggest hole. but the cornerbacks weren't available. But what mostly they need is a playmaker. You need a difference maker, a guy that can make plays, a guy, you know, that's an alpha dog on defense. And that's what Michael Parsons is. That's what they needed, and that's what they got.
I thought Zeke came off. The consensus on our staff was that Zeke came off pretty well in Hard Knocks last night. Give me your thoughts on his shape, his mind. Where is he at? He's had several declining years. Where's he at today, Clarence?
Oh, his mind is great. And you saw last night, you know, let's normalize having a best friend and saying I love you to your best friend like he and Dak. Let's normalize that. Let's normalize men wrapping gifts for each other and stuff like that. Because he wraps gifts worse than I do. I mean, that's why they make the gift bags, Zeke. Put it in a gift bag. You don't wrap gifts anymore. That's why they made the gift bag. But seriously, he's in the best shape of his career. He said he's in his lightest weight since he was a freshman in college. He's sleek. He's fast. You can look at him. He looks in great shape. And his mind is right. He's motivated. He understands what not having Dak, not having his three best offensive linemen affected his year last year. The Cowboys understand that as well. But he also knows he needs to be better. The pop, the long run is out of his game. He's motivated to prove people wrong and say he's declining. He's motivated to let you guys know that he's still one of the top running backs in the game, and he looks it so far.
You know, when Dak got hurt, my interpretation, Clarence, was that he had a leg injury, and this is what we all do. We overcompensate and injure another part of our body. And so my takeaway is it's not terribly serious. When you were in Oxnard for 3 weeks, you know, scale of 1 to 10, 10 people are freaking out, 1 they're not. How did you feel about Dak's injury?
Well, you know, publicly, the Cowboys told us they weren't concerned. They downplayed it. They said it wasn't that serious. The fact that to me that he was out there every day after the injury, working out, doing different things, tells me they didn't think it was that serious. Certainly, you know, if it was a huge issue, he would be getting treatment and the like, doing everything they can to make sure he's ready for the season opener. And as you saw, if you guys watch Hard Knocks, Mike McCarthy had that urgency. What is he doing out here? Go get some treatment. Let's go find out what this thing is. My God, after what you went through last year, missing all those games, you know, the worst thing that could happen to the Cowboys with Dak Prescott to get hurt the first week of training camp. But as far as major injuries go, I think the Cowboys, you know, they dodged the bullet. They don't think it's going to be that bad. Certainly the Cowboys talked to the Yankees. They talked to the Rangers. You know, baseball teams about throwing injuries. They told them to shut it down. That's what the Cowboys did. And now they're ramping him back up. They had him throw in practice this week. They believe he's going to be ready. No doubt they believe he's going to be ready for the season opener. The question is, will he play at all in preseason?
Beyond Dak, if I said to you, Dak is the most important player, we're not going to dispute that. Who's number two? Is there somebody out there? You know, it's funny, with the emergence of CeeDee Lamb last year, he really became a star. You know, my takeaway is, you know, between Gallup and Amari Cooper, they may be able to move one of those guys. His in continued growth may give them a flexibility at the trade deadline. I don't know. You tell me, who's number two in importance?
That's tough. Maybe Tyron Smith. You know, they need that offensive line to be back where it was. And missing Tyron Smith and those offensive linemen last year hurt that team. Having Tyron Smith back healthy at left tackle to go along with Lael Collins and Zach Martin back, this offense is going to be able to move. They need those, you know, the linemen to dominate like they did earlier in their careers when they were one of the best offenses in the game. And certainly when you have the receivers, and you brought up Amari, and you brought up CeeDee Lamb, you brought up Michael Gallup. Why does it matter who's number one?
Yeah.
You know, I just came from the Hall of Fame. Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. Does it matter? They had Marshall Faulk in the backfield. They had potent guys outside, okay? Isaac Bruce is in the Hall of Fame. Torrey Holt should get there. You had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison in Indianapolis. No one cared about who was number one. Peyton just cared about, I got two weapons on the outside that nobody can stop. And that's kind of how the Cowboys feel about their offense. You know, they're not concerned. It's a fan and media thing of he's going to, you know, surpass Amari as number one. What are we going to do about Michael Gallup next year? You know, right now, they just care that they have, you know, one of the top receivers cores in the game. CeeDee Lamb is going to be a superstar. He's emerged. He's been the best player in training camp to go with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. You got Zeke in the backfield. You got Tony Parsons. You got two quality tight ends. Dak has an embarrassment of riches to throw to. If they can protect him, this offense is going to be explosive.
What's your gut feeling on the season? If I had to pin you down in a number of wins, what do you feel like today, Clarence?
Can they stop anybody? We talk about the offense, but you know, one reason why they got Michael Parsons because they couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. You know, they gave up more points than any team in franchise history. They gave up the second most yards and the second most rushing yards than any team in franchise history. They got to show they can stop somebody. Of course, when you're that bad, the only way to go is up. You know, it's funny because they got the 17-game season. We're so used to talking about 10-6 and 8-8. You know, I got the Cowboys, 10-7 right now?
Yeah.
You know, and you tell me how good this defense it will be and grow with a guy like Michael Parsons. You know, we can add to that. I got 10-7 right now.
All right. Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, spent 3 weeks in Oxnard, the weekend at the Hall of Fame. Good seeing you, man.
Nice seeing you as well.
All right. So, yeah, they really do. The wide receiving core could be the best in the league. Gallup's a big body, deep threat. CeeDee Lamb is almost like he's better in NFL than college. And Amari Cooper's always sturdy.